It's Arnold Byun with Warm Welcome, a show about passionate people and how hospitality plays a part in what they do. Hey guys, today on With Warm Welcome, we're sitting down with Emily, who is the market director at Urban Space NYC. If you haven't heard of Urban Space NYC, I'm sure you've heard or even been to some of the markets that they curate, whether that's the Union Square Holiday Market, the Holiday Shops at Bryant Park, Columbus Circle Holiday Market, the Market at Times Square, Madison Square Eats, Broadway Bites, just to name a few. Their growth has been exponential, and they're really the pioneering market makers, I think, in this space. Emily kind of shares her story from transitioning to NYU, from NYU to Urban Space Street out of the college, the lessons she's learned along the way, and of course her passion for the vendors that she is able to showcase on a day-to-day basis.
I've grown up in New England my whole life. I was born and raised in Boston, Massachusetts suburbs.
Nice.
I was there the longest point of my life, from 7th to 12th grade, and then most of my time when I was at NYU.
Mm-hmm.
Was at this amazing all-girls school, which really taught me to just take life by the horns and do everything. I was actually at my 10-year high school reunion this past weekend in Boston.
How was that?
It was tremendous.
Really?
I had the best time ever, and then I stepped in to plan our class dinner, so it was really interesting knowing that I know the NYC food scene pretty well and, you know, going to a different city that I am less familiar with, but figuring out who's who and where to eat and figuring and finding all those places, which was a blast.
So throughout your time in school, like, is there something that you enjoyed particularly during your time, like outside of school, like passions or hobbies and things of that nature?
Honestly, my high school had a boarding program, so even though I was a day student, I felt like I was a boarder. I was on campus every morning for breakfast and was easily there until 8 or 9 o'clock every night doing plays, homework,
wow,
community service, whatever it
just
was.
Just really involved.
Super involved.
Yeah.
It, like, that became my home.
Yeah.
So I think just being connected with so many girls who had all these different passions as well, you find what you love and you do it, and you don't think twice about it.
So you had a good experience overall.
A great experience, yeah.
So the next chapter for you was NYU.
It was. I was a dramatic literature major with a minor in public policy and management and a certificate in fundraising.
That's probably the longest.
Yes, it's quite a mouthful. Quite a mouthful.
Tell us more about how those three things kind of come together.
So when I was applying to NYU, I was trying to decide if I wanted to do theater full-time in Tisch, and I decided I did not want to hate it and was very scared about doing that as my full academic program.
Yeah.
So took the liberal arts route, and while I was there, I really started to realize what I was more interested in. I took a lot of classes in Wagner, which at the time did not have an undergraduate degree. So that's how I ended up with the cross-school minor. But kind of my epiphany at NYU was that I wanted to go into management, specifically not-for-profit management. And then by the time I left, I was like, you know what? Maybe there's a way to help people and make money at the same time. So I was studying a lot of social entrepreneurship and then found this job at Urban Space. I started as the admin assistant, and I've been with the company now for almost 6 years and have worn a number of hats and am a market director and work on many different specialty projects that we have.
I mean, you know, you said it before with NYU when they interviewed you for this alumni feature, but it really seems like Urban Space, the company and the role that you have, is a great cross-section of these three different fields that you studied in school, right? In terms of, like, what you majored in, what you study, what you were interested in is all kind of converged into this role.
Absolutely. And I think every year I just start to hone in more on what exactly that is. And you evolve over time, right?
Yeah.
So I may have started coming from this nonprofit angle, feeling like I wanted, you know, and I did a lot of grassroots fundraising when I was at Urban Space, at NYU. So kind of coming from that bottom-up approach, working with so many local small businesses, some people who are just starting out. They had an idea one weekend, and I've never worked in the food space before, but I'm just going to go for it. So working with people like that versus other vendors who come from restaurant families and want to do their own thing now. And then putting all those different amazing people together and creating this energetic marketplace is really kind of amazing. And taking my fundraising degree and my management classes and just pulling it all together. And the theater English side of things, it's just about communicating with people.
I love it.
And
yeah.
storytelling really is what it comes down to.
Yeah. During your time in school, you mentioned you work for a couple non-for-profits. Or what were some experiences during your time at NYU?
I was the event lead for Relay for Life at NYU, which is a fundraiser for the American Cancer Society.
Cool.
It's evolved over time, but most Relay for Lifes are 24-hour events. And so you are raising money to fund cancer research and support families dealing with cancer. And so that at NYU, that event was 12 hours, but I had a team of 25 classmates who just pulled together and made this amazing event happen. And that really was such a community building moment for me. And I realized that I am always going to need that in my life.
Yeah.
I always need something that's going to bring people together. And kind of now at Urban Space, it's the markets that bring people together. We create these amazing communities within communities.
Yeah.
And just give people an opportunity to feel part of something.
That's awesome. I mean, let's just talk about Urban Space because I'm really excited about it. For people that don't know what Urban Space is, could you kind of give us a little brief overview?
Sure. We create immersive public markets where community can flourish and everyone can come and enjoy something that's unique to them.
Yeah.
The company started in London, actually, in 1970. Eric Reynolds was the founder. He is an amazing placemaker, and he really took kind of the traditional public market that you know and love in Europe and was revitalizing those throughout London.
Yeah.
And then my boss was over there in the early 80s studying at the London School of Economics, Eldon Scott, and he loved the markets, worked with Eric and helped revitalize Spitalfields Market and Camden Lock Market, which just brought in this new layer of entrepreneurship. And craftsmanship and brought that back to the forefront of things. So when he came to New York, he started first with holiday markets. So Grand Central Terminal holiday market was his first one, which Urban Space no longer operates, but it really put him on the map in order to do Union Square and Columbus Circle holiday markets. And then in about 2008, which kind of linked with the market crash, there was this surge of creativity and entrepreneurship in the food space. So he recognized that, jumped right on it, and we created Mad Score Eats, which has become a really popular biannual food pop-up market. So we've added a few more of those to our portfolio and it's just grown from there.
A lot of markets now.
It
you
is.
You go onto the website and you kind of go, scroll over the market locations and just like, what? I lost track. I used to be able to know, I had on my fingers, okay, Urban Space Vanderbilt, the holiday markets, of course, and Mad Score Eats, Broadway Bites. I was able to kind of keep track of it.
Sure.
I can't anymore.
It's too much at this point, which is really kind of cool. So when I came in 2013, Mad Square Eats had been running, and we had Union Square and Columbus Circle, and that was it. And so in the first 2 months of being there, we created Broadway Bites, so I got to get my hands dirty see the production and everything that goes into a pop-up market that lasts 4 to 6 weeks. And then he signed the deal for Urban Space Vanderbilt. So I jumped right in and started creating food halls, which was really, really wonderful and such an amazing learning experience. We were all learning. I mean, we had seen what a food hall could be potentially in other places, but it was taking that idea of a public market and this amazing pop-up environment and energy and figuring out how we bring that indoors so people can enjoy it and have access to it all year round.
Because Urban Space Vanderbilt was the first permanent indoor space.
It was.
For Urban Space.
For Urban Space. Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
So talk to us a little bit about that opening and what that experience was like.
Oh my goodness. It was crazy.
Because it's not like you've had experience opening markets.
No, I was 23, 24 at the time. It's totally, totally bananas that I ended up doing what I did. We had an amazing team of people in place who were highly creative, had no problem rolling up their sleeves and getting their hands dirty, and it just was all hands on deck to figure it out and get it open. And a lot of credit goes to all the vendors themselves who are just always able to pivot on a dime and get creative. you make it work at the end of the day. That's the hospitality industry. You deliver the best experience you can with whatever you have in the moment, and always have a smile on your face.
Yeah. in terms of selecting the booths and the vendors that go into the space, I think I'm very interested to hear about like how that approach is started, right? So do you start with, I'm thinking, do you look at the market and the location and the geographic and the demographic of where it is, and you consider the people that are coming into the market, and then are you knocking out different niches like Chinese food, Italian food, and then a coffee shop, maybe a bakery? Like, how, what is the kind of process there?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of that and more. We always look at the neighborhoods that we're going into and what's missing and what can we bring and how can we add value. And then, you know, looking at food categories. But it really, for me, at least when I was leasing Vanderbilt, came down to the owners and entrepreneurs themselves, like who had the energy to really deliver something amazing and who worked well with one another.
Right.
So Eldon will always say, you know, kind of putting together a market and curating that, it's kind of a dirty word for us, but, you know, putting that together, he uses the analogy of a dinner party. So it's not just about inviting the right people to dinner. It's also about seating them next to
synergy,
the right people. Exactly. Making sure that, you know, people who have commonalities can spark an organic conversation next to each other for the dinner party analogy. But it's the same with the vendors cooking next to one another, which things make sense and fit well together. And it's a lot of personalities and a lot of energy, but it's as much a science as it is an art.
Yeah. So is it a mix of the team as Urban Space reaching out to certain vendors and maybe a couple actually applying to be a vendor? Like, what is the...
Yeah, I mean, it goes both ways. So we have people reach out to us. I mean, the phone just rings off the hook
now.
It's crazy. It's totally crazy. If you look at our info@urbanspace email account, it's just like, I was looking at it this morning. We probably had 50 people reaching out saying, hey, I want to become a vendor, which is so amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm just so proud to be part of a company that is known in the maker space as a trusted partner. So, you know, whether it's people contacting us or us going out and finding them. I mean, in the beginning, it was us going out and finding them. Now that we have a name and a brand and
they come to you.
Some projects behind us, they come to us, which is really kind of cool.
For me, the way when I first went in there, I think it was really crazy because it was a really nice, diverse cast, right? So you have Kuro Obi, which was from a really established ramen shop or chain, whatever you want to call it. And then you have Dough, and you also have, it was from Brooklyn, but they didn't have Ovenly.
Yes.
They didn't have a location in Manhattan then. So that was the first foray or entry into Manhattan for them, which I love. Like, I love the females behind that company. Then you also have like first time restaurateurs that you guys give opportunities to, right? Like there was the Bangkok bar. And then you also reached into a little bit into a company that had a brand as well with Toby's Estate. So for me, it made a lot of sense in the sense that you guys were putting in vendors that had a little bit of history, but also were giving first time vendors a chance too, which I think is really beautiful in that sense, like giving people that opportunity to, like, I think it's a great example, like that opportunity to look into a different market, get more exposure. Like, I love that. And I think that's really awesome.
Thank you. To go back to that science and art thing, we may have had, you know, initially what our master leasing plan was and that strategy. But as you meet people, you start to figure out who melds really well with whom. And so, yes, we wanted to make sure that there was that mix of really strong operators that maybe for the first time got to come to Manhattan and they could with Urban Space because it was a financially reasonable opportunity, as well as give that launch pad to and that platform to a totally brand new vendor.
Yeah. Roberta's is another one that you guys brought into Manhattan too.
Yeah. And I mean, it's an access thing, right? Like Urban Space came to the center of Midtown Manhattan and we said, hey, now you can get the best,
the craziest
wood-fired, you know, Brooklyn hipster brand. Without having to go to Brooklyn.
Which people in that area love, right?
Yeah, exactly.
They can be like, yeah, I've had Roberta's.
Right.
I think indoor markets is really interesting, but also for me, it's like, how do you execute these holiday markets? This sounds, it's just, when I love the Union Square holiday markets. It's actually something I look forward to every year, and I think a lot of people at NYU can say the same. It's just a really exciting time. The energy is awesome. The booths are all great. The vendors are all happy to be there, really.
Yeah.
I always have a great experience. The hospitality there is amazing. Talk to us a little bit about that. Like, what goes into it? Because I see sometimes I'll stroll by the park at 2 a.m. There's like trucks like loading things off. Like, what is that process like?
It's controlled chaos is probably the best way to describe it. It's a year-round process. So even though the market is only open for 6 weeks, I mean, we break for Christmas and New Year's, and then we get right back to it planning the next round. So we have an application process. Vendors can go online to our website and create a vendor portal and show us what they've got. And then we have a team that goes through all those applications and picks the vendors that we want to have in. Like a 99% return rate, vendors want to return. They do really well financially there. And to your point, it's just a really good energy. I think that's what's, there's something just so special about all of our holiday markets. It's kind of this perfect mix of stumbling upon something unexpected, finding a really unique gift, and just feeling the energy of everyone around you.
Yeah.
That makes it extra special. So for the vendors and the consumers, it's a really positive experience.
Yeah.
So we have this application process. We call through all of those. We send out acceptances. And it's a really heavy, complicated production that usually – and we do it in about 4 to 5 days. So Urban Space will get their work done, and then vendors have about 2 days to load into the market and build this shop that's going to, you know, make them money, and they can spread their gifts all over the world for 6 weeks. And then vendors load out in a few hours, Christmas Eve, and then Urban Space breaks down right after that.
Yeah. All of this sounds awesome and dreamy, but I'm sure along the way there's also been some maybe failures or setbacks.
As many, just there are so many cooks in the kitchen when you have a project that big. So the holiday markets are over 150 vendors each. So you're dealing with 150 different personalities, small, you know, small businesses who have a very wide range of experience and understanding of how many things are always in the air that make this market what it is. Weather is probably the biggest issue for us for the outdoor markets with load-in. Load-out this past year for Columbus Circle was torrentially downpouring. The vendors all got out the night before, and then it was just torrential downpour with my amazing porter staff just kicking butt, taking care of everything else. And I think when you're in really tough situations like that, that's when you really have to pull together as a team, and even though it might totally stink, you get it done.
Yeah.
And that a lot of that goes into trusting the people you work with and caring about the work that you do. And that for me, when I, you know, managing our on the ground crew, that was the biggest thing I wanted to kind of help all of our guys see, is that we should be proud of the work that we're doing. And whether that's picking up trash on the ground or making sure a vendor is open on time or getting the pat on the back for doing a really great job, that the, you know, the parks department was really happy or the Department of Transportation was really thrilled. As much as we get those pats on the back, it's really about just making sure that every day we can come to work and be proud of the experience that we're creating.
Yeah. And speaking of experiences, a lot of these market halls, I think, I mean, the holiday markets will always have the kind of the arts and crafts and different knickknacks and things like that at the market. But as I see you guys opening up these new market halls, there are a lot of them are really food based. Like the one in Lexington is really just food.
It's all food. Yeah.
So talk to us a little bit about that transition from maybe having arts and things of that nature into just really solely focusing on food.
The food hall space is really interesting and has done really well. So not to say that the holiday markets aren't. Everyone loves them. And we get requests all the time for new holiday markets everywhere. We are excited now, actually. We are launching in May for 3 weekends at Bryant Park. We're going to be doing a maker's market. So that is a spring retail opportunity for our vendors.
Nice.
So it's nice to be able to give retailers opportunities throughout the year. But for that food space, it's just been so well received that we're running with it.
Yeah.
There are so many food vendors coming to us asking for more opportunities. And so we try to listen. It really is a partnership with our vendors. Mm-hmm. So as much as, you know, we may say, hey, we have this great location, a vendor may come to us and say, hey, have you thought about this space instead?
Right.
And so it's a crowdsourcing, really, of energies and ideas and best practices in order to keep making these better.
Yeah. And what does the kind of contracts look like? Is it a one-year lease for these vendors that come in? Like, what does that
look
like?
It's totally different, and it's completely different pop-up to permanent. It really runs the gamut. So it's more about what works best for the vendor. You know, maybe if you're a new business, you want something that's shorter term to really test the waters and make sure it works. If you're a known operator, or maybe you have a proven concept, you know, like, I want to be here for a long time. So we work.
You guys are pretty flexible in working with.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's that. We want everyone to succeed. At the end of the day, we want everyone to succeed. And if a vendor isn't doing well for some reason and they need to leave or want to leave, like, we work with them.
Yeah.
But we also have a lot of vendor services in place and an amazing operations team to really be there for the vendors and to coach them.
Yeah.
And the vendor community itself is just so dynamic. So it's the sort of thing at these food halls where a rising tide raises all ships. It's in everyone's interest for everyone to do well. If you see that your neighbor's struggling with something, or maybe someone quit and they're short a staffer for the day, I mean, I see these vendors jumping in and helping one another and just supporting each other day in and day out. And like, yeah, someone might think, okay, that's my quote unquote competition, but it has become this really amazing collaborative space where everyone's supporting one another.
Do you guys have like an onboarding process too for these vendors? Like when you guys first open a food hall and like kind
Absolutely.
Of introduce urban space and that brand and 100%.
And that's a process that we're always growing and evolving. Like as we get bigger and expand nationally, you know, we just learn from every market and from every interaction.
Yeah.
We have an amazing operations team. We have a separate leasing team. So those two teams work really tightly together, as well as a design team to make sure everyone's booth looks beautiful, is compliant with the Department of Health and all Department of Buildings regulations. And it's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, but it's all teamwork, which is really kind of cool. And to see those puzzle pieces fit together is really satisfying at the end. For me personally, when I was leasing Vanderbilt, passion was probably the word. Passion or heart was probably the biggest word that comes to mind. And you know that the minute you meet someone. If you get them talking about what they love and why they're doing what they're doing, you know immediately whether they're being authentic and truthful or not.
Yeah.
To meet makers who had some crazy experience as a child, and then that led them to X, Y, and Z path, which led them to discover their love of lemon buttercream frosting. I mean, it's like the stories are just so rich and so diverse. And so for me, that's the first thing that makes me kind of fall in love with a vendor and a concept and know that I want to bring them into something as special as urban space.
Is there a success story that you want to share that you've really seen with a vendor maybe? That's
a great
fills
question.
Fills your gas tank?
There are so many of them, which is really kind of cool. Kuro Obi was a blind email. I just sent them a total cold email to bring them into the space, and they have a phenomenal team to work with. So from one of our larger operator sides, like that was just really cool to think that someone would respond to me and that they'd be interested and we could get that deal done. Ovenly is probably, I mean, Agatha and Erin Patinkin are just two dynamic boss ladies.
Yeah.
And so that was really cool to bring them to their first Manhattan location and then to see their business grow and scale. I mean, I feel like every single day I read another article where Agatha and Erin are interviewed about being just amazing leaders and growing a business and growing a responsible business.
Yeah.
So that's been cool to see.
She has a great podcast too on Vox Media.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Love that
Start
woman.
Start to sale. Really, 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 really good.
So great. It's everything from vendors making enough money at one of our pop-up markets to then have that initial capital to open a brick and mortar. Some of our greatest success stories in my mind are vendors who are no longer working with us because they have just grown so big that they need their own space and they have everything they need to stand on their own two feet. Mexico, you may know, as a operator in the city, they were with us at Matt's Gore Eats in the very beginning.
Huh.
And then they were actually able to get a space diagonal from where that market
That's
pops
a huge
up on Fifth
restaurant
Ave.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, and then they have a couple of other locations throughout the city.
Yeah.
So to see that growth and that expansion it's like I'm a proud mama.
Yeah. I also
it's just so cool.
I also learned with Ellen Scott, he was on another podcast with Bloomberg, and he was saying how the Body Shop and Sabon, I think, were also two brands that started in London.
Mm-hmm.
One of their food as like a food as a vendor.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's gone from probably like one booth to what
one
it is
little
now.
Booth, yeah, exactly, yeah. To an international brand.
Yeah. I would love to hear your thoughts on this because I think for me and for a lot of people that are in our generation, let's be honest, like it's hard to be patient and like work for one company and stay for a long time and really see like the long term. So
sure.
Can you kind of speak on that? And
that's a great question. And it's so funny because to your point, our generation is kind of known as jumping all the time. It's like you're with a company for a year, or maybe it's 10 months, and your resume is 14 companies that you've worked for in the last 5 to 6 years. Kind of an old school approach to think that you'd go to work for one company and spend the majority of your life there. I think what's great about Urban Space is because we've been growing and changing and evolving, I have been able to change and evolve and grow with the company. And I think a lot of it's being in the right place at the right time. And then a lot of it's been advocating for myself about what really interests me. And then just having managers who appreciate that and who want me to be happy and be hungry and stay successful.
Mm-hmm. So do you think the key is also just lining yourself up with a company whose vision and mission is kind of aligned to yours, but also you see the growth in that company as well when you're joining?
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely think it's a mix of both. And I also think it's a big opportunity to just always advocate for yourself. It doesn't matter how old you are, how inexperienced or quote unquote experienced you are. Everyone sees something different. And that's why these food halls and our markets are successful, because everyone's looking at them from a different angle. So any input that you have, in my opinion, is always going to be valuable. So I just always encourage people to speak up.
I love that.
Yeah.
The one question I ask every guest on the show is have them define the word hospitality. So if we were looking at a dictionary and we look at Emily's definition of hospitality, what would that look like?
And hospitality to me is making someone feel at home. The thing that I'm probably most proud of about Vanderbilt is walking into that space and seeing someone who looks like they just came from Bushwick sitting next to an international family with 4 children running around in a stroller, next to some business women and men who have just, you know, 10 minutes to escape from their desk before they have to go back and take 100 phone calls.
Yeah.
So to see all of those people feeling safe in the space, feeling welcome in the space, and interacting with one another in the space, to me, we're accomplishing that, and we're making everyone feel at
home. That is really true, because the many times I've been there, you guys have communal tables, and kind of by nature, you're encouraged to ask, well, hey, is this seat taken?
Or,
and that kind of like sparks this conversation that's very organic, right?
Yeah, and it's so kind of anti-New York in many ways. We're surrounded by millions of people every day, but and especially now with all this evolving technology, we're always looking at our phones or our watches or tablets. So how do we get back to that kind of analog experience of just saying hello?
Right.
And even if it's for something logistic, like asking if that seat's available or not, maybe then you'll start a conversation about the food that you just ordered.
Yeah.
And then that turns into some long-winded story about your trip to Italy or, you know, your experience at Roberta's Pizza in Bushwick.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 25 minutes later, you're having this amazing conversation with a stranger.
Yeah. And in terms of feeling like coming home, is the placement of certain vendors very strategic as well in terms of like when you first walk into a market, you're seeing XYZ vendor and...
Yeah. And so much thought and time goes into designing the individual vendor booths, making sure that they're functional for the operators, but also functional for customers. Can you read the menu clearly? Do you know exactly what the offering is? Are allergens called out easily? Do you know the pricing of things? Do you understand where you get in line to order and where you pick up? And then it's also just about really playing to the senses. So to have the aroma of coffee beans when you first walk in the door at Toby's, which is now Partners Coffee, you know, to have that aroma and the colorful packaging to draw you in, to see beautiful baked goods by Ovenly when you come in the door is another one. Fire in the Roberta's Pizza oven in the other corner. I mean, you just, you start to put these things together, and it's about kind of the theater of food.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So passion is also another key word for me. Why do you do what you do?
I think it varies day to day, and sometimes when you leave the office, you're like, why am I doing what I'm doing? When, you know, when you're having those failures or you're coming up against a brick wall for the 14th time that day. I really do it for the vendors. Anytime I'm having a bad day, I will just go to the market and I will see someone have an amazing experience, or just see someone in the booth get to explain, you know, what food they're about to serve to the customer.
Yeah.
And I just try to bring it back to that initial person-to-person connection, that community aspect, you know, creating a home base for someone, and seeing how hard these vendors work and knowing how much is on the line for them to to create a business and to want to grow that business and to always be hungry. I come back to their passions, and that's what
ignites yours.
Ignites mine.
Yeah. That's awesome. For people that want to follow Urban Space, what's the best way to follow along?
Instagram, @UrbanSpaceNYC. Our website always has up-to-date information about all of our markets going on. You can subscribe to our newsletter there, and we have some really, really great content about all of our amazing makers and their stories.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
As we close out another episode of With Warm Welcome, I just wanted to thank Emily for her time and generosity in agreeing to come in and record at the studio. I initially reached out to her on LinkedIn, direct message. So I really, really, really appreciate you agreeing to be on the show. And I had such a great time. For those that don't know, there is a new website for the podcast. It's withwarmwelcome.com, hosted on Simplecast. And it really has allowed for a much easier playback for all the episodes on the show, complete with show notes and episode notes. So would love for everybody to check it out, and any feedback would be welcome. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.